Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
I've started last week a series called Songs of Christmas, and I want to do that again today here in these opening chapters of Luke 1 and 2. These are the first Christmas carols and songs. Sometimes in the headings of our Bible, it might even have that listed as the Song of Zacharias. Just depends on your particular Bible you may have. Obviously, it's not necessarily that they were songs always, but somewhere in the early church, they began to put them to music. Some of them possibly were the ones we have today. A lot of people believe, and traditions in the church believe, that the angels sang, and they certainly praised God, we know that, and glorified God. And so we're going to be looking at the second chapter of Luke, and we're going to read verses 11 through 14. Luke chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Last week we dealt with the song of Zacharias, which was in the we saw outlined for us in chapter 1, I believe. But here we're having song of angels, the song of angels here, particularly verse 14, the song of angels. Before we get into that, I want to invite you to sing with me the chorus of Angels We Have Heard on High. So would you do this? Just go. All right. And so you got to get ready now, because it's fun to do so. And don't tell me you don't know it. Don't tell me that. All right, here it is. I'm going to practice it one time so you can just practice it, all right? Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. All right, you got it. That's the hard part. The next part's the easy part. Gloria in excelsis Deo. What does the in excelsis Deo got to do with anything? That is just Latin language there. And in the proper way to say it, I had a music teacher tell me, was in egg shells Deo. So he said that's how you got to say it so it comes out right. So now you practice. We've already got this down. We're really good right now. Tell the person next to you, say, I'm really good at this. I'm really good. All right. Okay, so now I want you to bust this thing off right now. Here we go. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria.
strength shall cease day. Give yourself a hand. You did really, really good. Really good. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The song part of that is actually just verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. This is what the heavenly host, the angelic host proclaimed. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That had to be an unbelievable witness that the shepherds had on that particular day on that Judean hillside. Charles Spurgeon, who was one of the great preachers of our modern history, he said that this was the first Christmas carol, the first Christmas carol. And we understand as much as this was the angelic song or the angelic praise that took place announcing the birth of Christ. And so I want us to just to look at that in these moments. And Spurgeon spoke of these words here in, and he said they were instructional, instructional thoughts, as it said, glory to God in the highest, to give glory, and it's instructional. He said they're emotional. These are emotional thoughts. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. That's an emotion itself. We most of the time think about emotions as something that has a lot of action with it, but just sometimes just the peace. It's an emotional thought here that we see. It's a prophetical thought. And on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It had a prophetic word here in this verse. And then he said it is a perspective thought in how that if you grab hold of these words, it gives you a different perspective and a right perspective of life. And so there it is, Spurgeon's sermon. That would be, there's no telling how many pages that is if you read his sermon. I just gave you a short outline of his sermon from this particular, on these particular verses that we've read today. What I want you to see here is the words that we read preceding this verse 14. How that the word here says that the angel brought. For it said, for unto you is born this day. This is the angel declared this. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So we want to set this song up here, and it says, for unto you is born this day. This is a real day in history. When Christ was born, it was a real day. It is not some fictitious day in some once upon a time fairy tale. But this is an actual day in history. It's a day that was prophesied of old. We read in Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7. So there it tells us, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it goes on to tell us that the government would rest upon his shoulders. It tells us there of this one that would be born, and it was a real day in the history of the world when he came, Jesus. And these angels announced this birth of Christ, the Savior, the Lord. Notice that it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David. Not only was it a real day, it was a real city. A real city. These are good stories, but we're not talking about Narnia. We're not talking about Middle Earth. But it was a real city. We're not talking about a foreign galaxy somewhere. We're talking about a real city. In the preceding verses, we see that this city was the city of Bethlehem. It's a real city. This real city is located, or this town is located 6 miles from Jerusalem in Israel today. This real city is 6,339 miles from Graniteville. I looked it up. It's a real city. It's a real city. It's a city war-torn in these moments. I noticed in the yesterday that they've canceled Christmas festivities in Bethlehem for this year due to war. But it's a real city. It's a city that was prophesied 700 years before this date. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it was prophesied that in Bethlehem, Ephratah, there is where this Messiah would be born. And it came to pass 700 years after the prophet Micah declared it. I want to tell you, It was a real day, and it was a real city. Not only that, it tells us there about this city. This is the city of David. This was a city that his father Jesse grew up in. Listen, it gets real personal because it's a real place. It was the town Jesse was from. It was the town where the prophet Samuel went to the home of Jesse, and he was there looking for the king that would soon be anointed to lead Israel. It was that king whom the Messiah would come through, that line of kings and that scepter that would rise up, and that kingship that would rise up would be an eternal kingship even unto this day, as Christ, born of woman, born of Mary, but yet conceived by the Holy Spirit, in that line, in that genealogy of King David. That's where Christ come from. It's a real day. It's a real city. It's a real genealogy. But there is a heavenly gift in the midst of it all. Jesus. And here we have, in this verse 14, here in the city of David, a Savior. So this angelic song, this angelic message, was not just about an ordinary child, but a gift from God of His only begotten Son, whom was God incarnate Himself. He came, and the scripture here in verse 14 says He was Savior. And I want to tell you, everybody who's ever sinned needs a Savior.
And Romans 3:23, we talked about last week, for all have sinned, me, you, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we all need a Savior. And so this child that came and was born in this real city, Bethlehem, in this on a real day, as prophesied of old, is the Savior, because mankind needs to be free of their sins. Matthew 1:21 says that Jesus came, Emmanuel came, that we sing about this morning, which means God with us, came to save his people from their sins. That's why he came. He didn't come so that we would have a good holiday season. He didn't come so that we could exchange gifts. He came because he was the gift. He came because he was the Savior of the world to a lost and dying world that could not survive and would be in everlasting punishment in hell were it not for the Savior that came into the world. Listen, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to praise the Lord for today. A Savior who came. He says not only that, he says the Savior has been born this day in the city of David. A Savior, which is Christ. Christ. This word Christ is our English word for Christos, which is a Latin word, but that word Christos means the anointed one. Christ, the anointed one, and the anointed one is the meaning of Messiah. The Messiah is the anointed one. This term Christ that we use in our English language can be translated as Messiah. So I want to just share that with you, because a lot of times we don't all know exactly why the terminology, but I want you to know what it means. That is a messianic title of him who would come, the Messiah. We read of this Christ being the Messiah. We see that in John 1:41 and John 4:25, where it talks about the Messiah and that he is the Christ. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. And this anointed one, Christ, is a forever king. He is a forever anointed. He is forever anointed priest and prophet. We can count on him. He is forever in that. There is no end to his reign as king. There is no end to his priesthood. There is no end to him being the prophet of all prophets. He is Jesus, the King of glory, our Christ, our Messiah, the anointed one. He is whom we worship today. It says not only that he's Savior, he's Christ, but it also tells us he's Lord. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's sovereign. He reigns above them all. He is above all. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He has always been. He is from eternity past. He is in the present, and he shall always be. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes on to say that in all of creation, everything that was created, behold, the Word was there in creation. And who is the Word? John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Word was Christ himself, who was among us. He was God incarnate. He was the child that was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in a real world, in a real town, on a real day. He was Savior. He was Christ the Messiah and the Lord of all. That's who they singing about on this Judean hillside. That's whom this song of the angels is all about, is about this Christ. It's of this Lord. It is of this Savior that we speak of. And He is the only begotten of the Father. There's no other religion that well even remotely comes close to showing mankind how to get to heaven. He is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the express image of the Father. You can't get to God. You can't get to heaven any other way. He is Jesus. I want you to understand today, He's the Messiah. He is Lord. Amen. Amen. And so we get to this angel song. Song of the angels. And verse 2 is very, very interesting here. I mean, verse 13, rather, of chapter 2. It says, "And suddenly there was with the heavenly host," it says, "and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God." Notice that. "For there is born," verse 13, "and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, it's apparent here that one angel is enough to bring this message of the birth of Christ. One angel. But it's also apparent here, as I observed this verse, that it said, upon this announcement, verse 11 and 12, suddenly, based on what the outcome would be of this child who would come, based upon what all of this means, one angel wasn't good enough. One angel brought the message, but a heavenly host came to praise God. Notice that. It said there was with the angel. There was with the angel that gave this message. A heavenly host. And I just think that is beautiful. Just underline that. There was with. Because that's how magnanimous He is. That's how great He is. That's how marvelous He is. That's how this message was. This is the greatest revelation of all time, is when they brought this message of Christ. And so that there was multitude. When we use that word, we don't have any way to give a number to it. Of heavenly host. You know, we can't work it out into a nativity scene. We can't work it out on anything. We got a few angels singing in the corner. But it was multitudes of angels began to sing, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. There is a two great purposes that I want you to see here that is given to us in the words of this song. Two great purposes, one of which, it's very clear. It's right here in verse 14. Glory to God in the highest. I want you to take that. So the first purpose I want you to see is that God receives the glory for this child that is born this day in this real world, in this real city. So God receives the glory. God receives the glory. Notice that. and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The second purpose that given forth in this song has to do with peace among people and in people's lives. And so as we consider the purpose, on one, that God is receiving the glory, two, that peace is extended to people on earth. But this is the key. Peace comes to everyone who receives the Christ. There was a little girl that was with her granddaddy riding down the road during the Christmas season, and there was on the lawn or on the bank of the side of a hill, and you've seen it before, somebody had put up in big letters, "Peace on Earth." And she said, "Granddaddy, what does that mean?" And he told her, much like we would say, about Christ coming and bringing peace to the earth. And he explained it like perhaps we would. And she said, "Granddaddy, but it didn't happen, did it?" And we live in a world where there's a lot of people would say it didn't happen, did it? Because we look at the wars, we look at the darkness, we look at the turmoil, we look at the horrific events of life and devastation, and it would be easy for people to say it didn't happen, did it, Granddaddy? See, the angel's song is often misunderstood. It's often misunderstood, these words, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We grab hold of glory to God in the highest, and we sing peace on earth toward men, and it makes for a lot of great songs and great messages of peace. But this is where I want you to really understand today. And I've already said it, but I'm going to say it again. This peace and the earth, on earth peace, goodwill toward men, based on the context of Scripture, has got to do with those who receive the child. Peace comes to those who receive Christ. There is a prophetic view of things and how great revival will come to people's hearts and lives, and what God will do from this time forward. From when this was declared, there have been countless myriads of people who have believed upon Christ, who have received Christ. But we must understand that peace on earth, goodwill toward men, is more than just a season. It is more than a slogan. It is more than something to be posted around. It is more than just a future event that may happen at some point where God sets up a rule of peace as people think about peace. This has to do with men's heart receiving this Christ. And this is why he came, so that individuals would believe upon him. And I want to tell you, yes, it did happen, granddaughter. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man, has happened.
It is happening, and it forever will be happening because of mankind believing upon Jesus Christ and receiving peace in their hearts. Romans 15 and 13, I love this. It talks about hope. Talks about this hope we have in Christ. It talks and it says that that joy and peace come by believing. Joy and peace come by believing in this Christ. This is the hope of the world. And it requires believing. We look around the landscape of the world and there are religions all over this world. They do not believe in Christ. There's individuals who claim to be atheists that do not believe in Him, thus have no peace. I will tell you, though, that there's no such thing as an atheist. You let them get in the right situation. But all I'm telling you is that don't mean they're saved. But what I'm saying is believing, so when you say I believe there's not a God, then you just believed in something. My point is there's countless people. This word, this Christ that was born in Bethlehem, He came. He lived a spotless, sinless, blameless life and took upon Himself all the sins of all humanity who would believe upon Him. This idea that some have in the world today that everybody goes to heaven, that somehow everybody is somehow in the end will get saved, and that is universalism. It is heresy. It is false teaching in this world. I want to tell you, you've got to believe upon Jesus in order to be saved. You've got to believe upon Him and accept Him. I don't say that today to be mean-spirited in any way. I'm telling you that is because this is what the Word of God teaches. And if we're going to have peace in our heart with God, we're going to have to believe in Him, Jesus. Not just God in general, but Jesus. I'm always looking for that. Anytime somebody tells me, and I'm talking to somebody about the Lord, I want to know, and they say, I believe in God. I just want you to explain what you mean by that. Because you might be talking about some God of this world. You might be talking about God in general. God in general is not how you're saved. It is through Christ alone, the baby that was born in Bethlehem. It's through Jesus. He's the way, not through some general belief in God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, here in this text, when we're talking about this peace, there's three relationships here we have with peace. I'll mention two. First one is we have the peace with God. Peace with God. That's the first one I'll mention to you. Peace with God. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, what has happened? What is this word justified? I've been justified by faith. I have been made right. I have been made right and righteous. I've been made just by faith in Christ. It's my faith in God. It's my faith in Christ in God. It is my faith in Jesus that brings justification.
When justification comes, that's the only way for me to have peace with God, and that is by faith alone, in Christ alone. Would you say that with me? By faith alone, in Christ alone, that's how I am justified, how God makes me righteous. And he says, they're just. They're just. He has to declare that over my life. Listen, traditions won't do it. Church membership won't do that. Knowing all the Christian songs won't do that. Living a life of piety or who my parents are won't do that. Merely being baptized will not do that. It requires believing in Jesus and believing upon Him and Him alone. That is how that happens. We are justified by faith. Therefore, we have peace with God through who? The Lord Jesus Christ. So this is an upward peace. This is an upward peace, peace with God. The next relationship that we have with peace through Christ is this way, and it is peace with ourselves. Peace with ourselves. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, peace with ourselves. I want us to see that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What I want you to see is here that, see here that we have the peace of God, but that is just the beginning point of peace. Because we have to learn to enjoy the relationship we have with God as a justified believer. Does that make sense to you? That's why spiritual growth, we talk to you always about it. We have to learn to enjoy that peace. And a part of that, that relationship that we have with God, He wants to bring peace to us in the midst of life, in the midst of the trials of life, in the midst of the difficulties of life, in the midst of all the stuff of life. I read about an art contest among some artists. And the theme they had was peace. You know how they'll just put one name under a painting, peace. And so every one of these paintings, and there was four that the article spoke of, and they all said peace underneath them. The first one was of a valley where there really, it was just a beautiful valley, and it had all the vegetation, all of the flowers, all of the trees, or everything in, and really there was no commotion of any kind, but it was beautiful painting of a valley, peace. The second painting was a farm. And again, it basically had a family farm, various people doing what you would do on a farm, but it had a tranquil feel to it. Simple life, just simple life. And at the bottom it said, peace. The third painting was of a priest meditating in a room alone, sitting in a chair, nothing to distract. And underneath was peace. And then there was the fourth painting was of a mighty waterfall, of which you could almost hear the roar as you look at the picture, as the water crashed down upon sharp rocks. And you would be looking at it, the writer said, and,
And you see, you can almost see and feel the noise as this writer has, or this artist has drawn this picture of these roaring waters from a waterfall upon the sharp rocks and splashing up. And again, it had the words peace. And he said, as you studied the picture, right up, just above the splashing of the water in the forks of a tree was a bird's nest and a mother bird and a baby bird calmly without any interference there in the forks of the branch. Peace. And that is the picture of what Christ does in our life. There is much trouble and trials in this world. The Lord Himself told us, He said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And here it tells us the peace of God. Even when we are attacked by anxieties of this world and the enemy tries to strike fear and turmoil in your life, I want you to know that you can have peace with yourselves when you have peace with God. And in the midst of the torrent of waters that are flowing through this life that can bring about hardship and damage to your life, I want to tell you today that God, the God of peace, He will bring the peace that surpasseth all understanding right in the midst of the trial, right in the midst of the difficulty of your life. That is what we've got to come to a place where we have peace with ourselves and enjoy the peace that we have with God. That's what He wants us to see. And then the third relationship with peace here I want to mention is peace with others. Peace with others. In this Christmas season, there's gatherings of family, friends of old, and sometimes a gathering of relationships that have been through some stuff, and there's hurt there. And people find themselves in awkward situations. You see, this peace of God, which will in turn bring peace on the inside, that's inward peace. The first one, peace with God, is upward peace. Peace with ourselves is inward peace. And now we need an outward peace. An outward peace. This is the song of the angels. This peace. Goodwill toward men. Romans 12 and 18. I want you to read this and let it sink in, and then I'm going to read it. Just go ahead and read it. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it on your part, on your part. Listen, we're getting right down to where rubber meets the road now in our life. This peace with God that we have in Jesus, this peace with ourselves because of the peace we have with God that He wants us to live out and enjoy. And we lay down at night and peace rolls over us and we believe in Jesus, but now this thing's got to be acted out, peace toward men, and we're as far as it depends upon us.
As far as it depends upon me, I'm to be at peace with all men. You say, but that thing sometimes gets thrown back in your face when you forgive. Well, if I remember correctly, that is what they did to Jesus. They threw it in his face, right? They threw his forgiveness in his face. Sometimes that is the case. But that does not mean we don't forgive. As far as it depends on us, as far as it depends upon us, we're to forgive 70 times? No, no, no. Is it just 70? 70 times. As far as it depends on us. Listen, if they throw it back in your face, let it be that you sing the angel song. Keep singing the angel song, giving glory to God. And then functioning in the peace that you have in knowing Jesus. That will impact you inside and out. And no matter what the reaction you get, you make sure as far as it depends upon you. You can't make anybody do anything. You can't make anybody change. You can't make anybody. But you know what you can do, and this is how we do it. Today, this, you say, well, how? Listen, what you do is you stand in the amazement of his peace in your life. You stand in amazement how God forgave you. And what you do is you're reminded of that again and again, and you say, Lord, I remember how you forgave me. I was lost on my way to a devil's hell. I was undone without you. I had no shot, but you forgave me. And I'm amazed, God, that I have peace with you today through my Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm going to just keep singing the angel song, and I'm going to act in people's life and react in people's lives with that amazement of your forgiveness and that amazement of your peace. I want to tell you, we need to be, if we'll stand and walk in the amazement of what God has done in our life, it'll shift how we view other people. It'll shift how we view the meanness of other people. It'll shift how we view the cursing of other people. It'll shift how we view the hatred of other people. It'll shift how we view the sin of other people. It'll shift everything because I'm amazed by the fact that he forgave me. Therefore, how can I not forgive you? And if you throw it in my face, throw it in my face, but I'm forgiving you anyway. Now this is the book. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name that is above every name, we come today. We submit ourselves to you, and I believe you're doing a rich work in our life this morning. A rich work. A deep work. In our life today. Thank you, God, for peace with you. Thank you for peace internally. But thank you, God, that as far as it depends upon me, I can be at peace with everybody. Everybody. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you stand with me and remain that way just a moment more? Stand with me. We'll be dismissed in just a couple of minutes from now. I want you to hang with me these just a couple of minutes here. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but you'd say, yes, I've got to know Him, and I've got to know this peace that you talked about today that comes in knowing Jesus, would you slip up your hand? As nobody's looking around, would you slip up your hand and say, that's me today, Pastor. I want to receive this Christ today. Are you here? Would you raise your hand? Would you boldly raise your hand? Would you boldly raise your hand? Yes, thank you for that one. Somebody else, you would raise, thank you for that. Somebody else, you would raise your hand and say, that's me. I want this. I need this. I want to be changed by Him today. I want to know Him. Give Him glory today. Give Him glory.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.